Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. We have on with us again today, this evening, we have Janupa Gluhamani, co-host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, and we have his guests who are going to introduce themselves now. They will let you know their names and what state they're from.
Yeah, this is Bryce Inowitz from the state of South Dakota.
Glad to have you, Bryce.
Hi. My name is Bernice Seminole. I'm calling in from Montana.
We're glad to have you, Bernice. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
How good evening, Jenny. This is Blanny O'Clock. I'm from Eagle Butte, South Dakota also.
Hey, Lanny, it's great to have you on, man. Looking forward for a good show tonight from everybody that's taking part in tonight's edification. So, as all the people calling to introduce themselves. Okay,
Jenny,
we got others?
Yeah, this is Jenny calling in from Northwest Montana.
All right, glad to have you, Jenny. I look forward for a good show tonight.
We have others.
Hi, Jenny. Hi.
The board is lit up. We have some others that haven't introduced themselves yet.
Okay. Give them a few seconds.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
From Nebraska.
Introduce yourselves.
Laleen from Nebraska.
Hey, all right. Laleen from Nebraska. Glad to have you on board tonight.
Okay, Chinupa, I think that might be it. So the show is yours.
All right, I appreciate it, and thank you. Before we get started on tonight's show for November 20th, 2020, triple 20s, 20 up front for the day, 20 behind. Beautiful day. I'm going to open up with a Lakota prayer for all of us that are participating in tonight's show. Otonkashila wakantanka gichimanetu. On petu aste woke unyak upin kan wopila tanki ichichi lech datu na hipikle. Dona hoch le o kanchula. Hiltak on a taku ishan i woke like a kichante ogna hechus e wobbles a shuta hechus et hokataka on kiokte. Na hoch ishan. Tiata waki prop, no makasina kyunkok, de kena isha le wiki woki shiaki lechtatu. Hesus eutwapi. Na isha hoch na haksi okuzi tipi techia babiko. Nisha wasloikil henna wichak. Woki henna isha wichak. Ayaki sneaky hoch henna tiata keeping a ganaskiana yokpicha upik. Kia hesus de wochek lewaganaki. No makaska oyate. Hat hako oyate. Wambly oyate. Ehaka oyate na sinte saple hena taku chiapi kolat chiapi na taku kasi na wola kote echet ke hechus onkina liping necha hochi chiapi tohan woche ke wakage ampeto kile chanu pagulha mani echa hoa tona huch insha tchera traha mahasapcha na tima hiupi na okansula lechus e chaje ki hena kokata ichpa woki hena lechta tu kubichak oye insha taku iwaste ki wogla kokte ki Hena hechus eungna kapikte. Kya hechus wokiena. Puchokan kelena shich upikte. He un woche ke wakake. Ho, metaki. Well, good evening for another brilliant show in Lakota country and elsewhere and for all the participants from different states and reservations. I want to take this little bit of time to open it up to my little brother Bryce Inwood for starting off and leaving off from the last show on Saturday, what he wanted to share about the current circumstances that are arising in Indian country. So without any further delay, little brother Bryce, hey, the circuit's yours.
The question was put before about how we can unite under unity. And I believe we have to look at the truth of the matter. And we have to look at what has been imposed upon our people. One is a direct line from the Creator to the Sanwe to Itchacha Okachnigapia. Helen Kachnigap to Echa, Lam Petiki, Hapiki, and Hianiki. Only let's just say, Dwe Itchacha Okachnigap to Yani la kula kuna mi che ki kwa na tiosh pa on topic he he un kasniga na ta hecha na yapka ha he tiwa he na tiosh pa un kasniga na us pa na oyate ki lukis ki i chun pichak he ake hecha se yukini te hecha he la kula kuna mi che hecha. Now, the other side of it would be, in the English version, would be the flip side of the coin. And the coin would be, the heads of the coin would be intelligence. And when you flip the other side of the coin, it's the ego, which is common sense. And what I said in Lakota was, in our leadership, from our creator to the buffalo calf, the white buffalo calf woman, and to our family and our extended family, the representative of the leadership was anointed by the family in Teoshpai. And that person recognized, had direct communication to the creator. Those were our leaders, Itachums. And on the flip side of the coin, we're under a system of federal domination and federal subjugation. And if you look at what is written in the Constitution form under the Indian Reorganization Act, it recognizes the U.S. Constitution and other four statutes. And the Indian Reorganization Act itself is a statute, 984. So leadership, one is appointed directly, and that's the truth of who we are. And that's what we have to get back to, is the truth of our leadership. The other one is under a foreign dictate, I'm saying, because we go under the system of election, and it's a flawed system. So the real leadership is being ignored on some of our original prisoner of war camps when the land was being taken. And what I mean by taken was being stolen under gunpoint and gunfire. So even today with that trauma, you know, that has to be reconciled and has to be on the table. Example would be, it's called the Remove the Stain Act, which was Army Medals of Honor awarded to U.S. Army 7th Cavalry remnants down in Wounded Knee, South Dakota, killing women, children, and elders. And it's right now in front of the U.S. Congress to remove those medals of honor, which there was no honor that day. And that is a pressing issue now. It's a hot item. Hopefully it gets passed through this next coming Congress. But leadership again. We have a system under the Indian Reorganization Act Constitution template that was given to us. And where you see the divide and conquer, if you look at the satellite view, in the map view of South Dakota, North Dakota, all up into Sioux Valley in Canada, in Minnesota, in Nebraska, in Montana, Wyoming, you'll see a clear delineation of this divide, especially here in South Dakota. You have 9 reservations, 9. And at one time, it was a, they called it the Great Sioux Reservation, which, again, if we go back to our language will make this clear. And we need clear definition through our language. And we need to understand that the appointment of leaders, we followed our Tunkashinas and our Unchis. We had our language, which refers to male and female, and the way the male talks and the way the female talks, it's an order. It's the order and definition of our leadership, and it starts with the language. And then the protocols and the understandings of the Tuai Teoshbaya, which make up the bands, the Oshbaya, which make up the Oyate. Well, to get back to a clear understanding and the Mokotia, the land, the grandmother, the Mother Earth that we live on, and the way that Lesanwe taught us to recognize our Creator in the form of holding a chunupa in our hand, and to recognize creation, because we hold the universe in our hand. That is the representation of Upagi, chunupa, with sage in our hand, holding it and looking up and around and sitting on our mother, grandmother, realizing that relationship. And right now there's only a pocket, a handful. When they're saying, Pe Okise, Pe Okise, that is a dear and clear warning that we need to get back to the original instructions of our leadership. And what I just described is our spiritual leadership with direct connection to our language, to our Creator on this planet, circling around the sun, that's giving us life. The other one is strictly English speaking. And it's a foreign dictate, I'm saying. It's a subjugation that was forced upon 1, 2, 3 generations ago. And it's fairly new, it's fairly flawed. And the U.S. government themselves, when the 1934 Act, and it started in 1935, and 75 years later, they asked, how effective is this form of government? And again, this was held back from the grassroots people. The bands, the 4 bands here on this reservation never got to answer that question. But we don't need to answer the question. Right now we have the free and independence to form our traditional government to our families and our bands. And that is a point of order of unity. And where the dissolution of family came and the genocidal acts came were through these statutes that were forced. The Collier, John Collier brought in the Indian Reorganization Act, basically threatened our people that if you don't accept this, then your children are going to eat grass. You know, and that's some wild form of what the generals are saying, like General Sheridan, back when they were in the Scorched Earth campaign against innocent women and children under the white flag, basically. So these issues are near, and the endearment is real, and the reality of going into our free and independent status while we're awaiting our Creator intervention, which is coming. We need to form that, and we need to stand on we have to stand on this traditional government of freedom and independence before our Creator. And looking at the Indian Reorganization Act government, which is creating division and not recognizing the true meaning of covenants, of the governed, of the sovereign, and they ignore that fact. So it is a pressing issue of reality that today, and we don't need to argue, everything's in favor of us moving forward. And that is the mission now, is to get the elders in your communities and form that council of elders, which is the backbone of any nation, and the mothers and grandmothers and the grandfathers and fathers stand together to strengthen the family. We strengthen the family, we can deal with the social economics on the ground. We can eradicate poverty, which is a mission that should be priority for all leaderships, elected or appointed, should be eradicating poverty. There should be no poverty here in this most powerful, richest country on this planet. That is a reality. But if we have a flawed system with flawed leadership, you still have poverty. We still have all of these social ills that are unnecessary, unwanted, and not addressed. So just in a nutshell, that's basically how we need to unify, is getting our elders' council going and getting our families and our Teoshbas organized to move forward in our communities and globally address our representation globally.
Oh, you know, as my little brother Bryce Underwood expressed more of his opening intentment, I want to hear from everybody that can make any type of question that will outline an understanding of what my little brother Bryce has expressed because of a traditional form of living with the principles that came from the four-legged, the winged creatures, and so forth. And don't forget that the Mother Earth and Great Mystery provided this free and independent way of life that never was written. And the animals are still abiding by that to this day in the year 20, November 20th, 2020. Okay. So in reference to what he's saying, all the other people that are here in tonight's show, I'm opening it up to you. And when it gets really into a contemplation place, I'll step in and carry on from there. So go right ahead. Anybody else want to add on to the question and a little understanding that my brother Bryce had contributed to the listening audience?
We have another caller as well, Chinupa. You want to state your name and your
Introduce
state?
Introduce yourself. Introduce yourself.
918.
Oh, this is Bill out in Oklahoma.
Hey, glad to have you, Bill. It's one of our men, our dog men. All right, right. Glad to have you tonight.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Yep. We got a lot of men on tonight and women. So go right ahead. Somebody, you know, intricate on part of where my brother Bryce went off, and let's get down to some serious, you know, understandings tonight with the show.
So this is Bernice Seminole. I have a question, Bryce. What you said makes a lot of sense, and I believe everything that you say. So my question is, how can we as a people, as a whole, individually, collectively, how can we change the current tribal government or governance to go back to where we should be? How do we start? How do we change tribal council's mind, tribal presidents, the community, the people? Because mentally and socially, we are so stuck on this European mentality, the colonialism that it brings, and the infrastructure and everything that it encompasses. And literally, it's destroying our people. It's destroying our land base. And what you said about poverty couldn't have been further from the truth, because you look at even my reservation in Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. We are so stuck in poverty down there. And we shouldn't be, because we have the most wealthiest land base ever. So how do we change that, and where do we begin, and how do we convince our people that this should be done for the betterment of ourselves?
There's a couple of things right off. I'll give you an example, and I've been working on this for like about 24 years. And I've worked with the Elders Council, and I caught Natal Kulakichi, and I represented the Minikoju, Itazap Cho, Siasapa, and Oenupa here on the Wakpawa Shtet. And all of those elders, they all laid things down in a traditional form, but they didn't. I was their recording secretary. So when the UNIDRIP passed, and Russell Mees brought that to our attention in 2008, where we held a forum in our headquarters, and he and Gary Rowland and Phyllis Young presented Republic of Lakota to make the students there at the high school and our people that attend it understand that the movement of independence and freedom is here. And the reclamation and the recognition of our land base and our treaty is here and now, you know. And let's start looking for facilitators to start organizing our families to get this going. So from that point to this point, there was a constitution. If you look at the concurrent resolution 76, it recognizes the Iroquois Confederacy, the U.S. Congress does, and that the basis of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights was based off the peace, the Treaty of Peace of the Iroquois Confederacy, calling them civilized, you know. But that civilization was tens of thousands of years old here. And this written document that we need under the UNIDRIP, we have all the rights to stand as a nation. But if you want to delineate how a federal government, how a state government, and a tribal government provides services to the people and protections to the people, you're talking about jurisdiction and sovereignty, you need to have it in writing. And we have a young group of people, very smart, intelligent, but we're lacking our language. So our language is our elders' council. Is our anchor, and that interpretation has to be clear. But we are losing our language, and the fact is that we have a younger generation that outnumbers the elders, and you need to educate them in a written form. So this constitution we have, it represents the Titu'an of the Keto Cheti Shagoin, which is the Lakota speakers, Titu'an. And this constitution doesn't say anything about U.S. Congress or approval from the Secretary of Interior, which is based off the 68 treaty. But it recognizes the 51 treaty land base. And there's a 1978 BIA map that defines that land base for all the original peoples here, even you and your people in Wyoming. So under that under that map and under a written document that explains the Elders' Council, explains international and national laws, spiritual laws, natural laws, that are all inherent rights that we have, it explains it. It recognizes the Chinupawaka. It recognizes that we have to have these sacred areas as safety zones. It recognizes United Nations Accords, international laws. So all these things are in this document that people need to read. And once you get to understanding what's the Elders Movement here and the Lakota Elders Council are in consensus, that there's two issues for them to take up. One is the return of land. The other one is investment in gold. And you get that mighty dollar and you burn it, it's ashes, gone. You burn that that gold, it's going to melt, but it's going to become gold again. You know, common sense would tell you that these things of rebellion, the Lakotas understood this. Wow, regarding the Black Hills, which we call the heart of everything. And there's a mind and legs and lungs and everything that tribal nations protect. We protect this Mother Earth, and once we understand that there's pure water, still pure, but somehow this element is destroying this water that's keeping us alive. So this balance is coming, this unbalance is coming. They made this magnetics, this Dakushkanshkan, they made it unstable now, and they're still doing that. Unless we intervene, our families, and the they call them nuclear families, but us, our main power base is the family. And what I was talking about, dissolution of families, is kind of like a manifesto, just like all of these accords and statutes and Supreme Court rulings and papal bulls and all of these federal laws, state laws, all these things that are in opposition to the truth, which the native people, the original people, have that truth. So if you have a government and you have a document that the young people and the elders can get behind that provides services to them, and you have this all covered, that you need ambassadors to represent our people in the 193 countries that are recognized, that we need ambassador training for these young people. All the laws are in place. I'm saying natural laws, international laws. These are all in place. Traditional laws. Traditional laws, like what Chinupa said, they're not written, but we need to write them and define them for these young people.
Mm-hmm.
Or to be gone. Like that dollar bill, when that fire is done, there's just ashes. You can't read it no more. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be like gold. You can burn it, but it'll still come back. It'll still be in your hand. That's what I'm talking about, just using common sense. The intelligence
mm-hmm.
side of it is that we have a lot of intelligent young people, and that's what we want to tap into. And you have a lot of intelligent elders that know all of these traditional laws and traditional knowledge that we need to preserve, preservation. We need to preserve that. So through this document, which the elders, men, signed on to last February, we're organizing our legal body now of the poor man to move forward. We had them organized, but a lot of them have made the journey into the real world. So now some of us are turning into elders, and now we see something that's coming. So the sense of urgency is there. And the unity with the families, and it seems like this COVID SARS-2 bioweapon that is attacking everybody. Some countries are handling it, and this country, sorry to say, the leadership has failed. This country and the leadership has failed South Dakota by leaving it open. And this is a hot spot. It's kind of like, to me, another genocidal act, you know, of letting a bioweapon run wild.
Mm-hmm.
So we're under a that's why I'm saying a sense of urgency. And no man can stand above this. No man. We're all equal. That heart beats that red blood, white, black, yellow. That red blood is what unites us, because this is a global issue. What we said here was set down in prophecy. And this prophecy has to be revealed now. Otherwise, the flip side of the coin again, the good and bad of it, is this could preserve time for us. The bad side of it, it could shorten time for us. That's the sense of urgency. So things are moving here, but this virus has slowed us down. But technology-wise, the meeting through Zoom, through radio, this communication, again, it's opening another door that our young people could really develop for the elders, so we can communicate, all our communities can communicate through Zoom or however, you know, however we get this communication going, which needs to happen now. So the communication, the family base, the legal document, the legal body, and all the accords, all these things we have to address that are detrimental to us. Like the Bill of Rights calls us a savage. We need to change that. It needs to be amended. You know, we don't call infidels and barbarians. When you say that, there's war. And then Muslims and Christians, there's war. So that word savage, we have to take it out of the Bill of Rights. Those things aren't being addressed. The mindset of somebody reading something, if you change it, then the mindset changes too, the attitude. Maybe we can make peace and brotherhood and sisterhood, which we definitely need on this planet. That's what I'm talking. The message has to be powerful. And it is an intelligent and common sense game. And it does deal with all the dualities that humanity has faced over the generations. It's making what's wrong right. And that's what Lakota Kalamichi is all about, traditional governance. If families fight, you go over there and make it right. in the justice system here in America, there's no parity to it. You know, just look at what's happening over the last decade or two, where CEOs are getting paid $500 million a year, and they're ignoring their employees. You know, and that's more apparent now than ever. But the money-wise, there should be no poverty here. And that attitude between the 1% and the 99%, it has to be equal now. That's what I'm talking about, equality.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be no poverty here. If you had over 51% going into military budget, if you had 51% to address the social, health, and economic needs here in America, there'd be no poverty. There'd be equality for everybody here. That is a fact. So if you want to change the federal government, the state government, tribal government, you have to start with our families. We have to go back to the traditional knowledge to stand as a traditional government. That's the spiritual connection. That's how we have to define our language so that it's clear to the younger generation.
Let me hear your questions. Throw your questions again. Go right ahead.
Okay, so I've got two questions to what Bryce is saying. So he talks about the elder project and the treaties. So is there a way that I can read that material? Because I'm really sincerely interested in reading all of that. And then the second question is, you talked about prophecy. So how can you tell us more about the prophecy? Because I'm interested in that prophecy.
Yeah, I got this information, this Constitution, the UNIDRIP, and all these things I'm talking about, and I can send you some work that I've done too to clarify what I'm saying.
Awesome.
Okay. And the other thing on the prophecy, we brought this out a couple of years ago on prophecies revealed, and we didn't get into the core of it. And me and Chinupa, we kind of finished off that three-day meeting that we had. We called it Petra Shakomi Omnicha. And one example would be in the early 90s, and I mentioned this before, that there's a legend of ours, and it goes that there's a woman, an elder woman, that is keeping the pitta going, the fire going, and she's cooking something. And as she's doing that, she's making an article. She's putting together an article. And where her dog, when she goes to tend the fire and what she's cooking, the dog goes over and unravels her doing. And in 93, early part of the 90s, that legend came true. Our Tunkashila from Itekakap, you know, where the faces are made from the saw, where the Mamankashka, Wanagiyoyate, and all those meanings there. There's Dope Tube, you know. When you look at a direction south, there's many meanings to that. And there's animals and spirits and all these things that double, four times four, just multiplies. That deep, deep meaning. And it's not just a direction. It's more than that. But that grandfather came from the south and told those in that Luwampi that, you know, that she has completed her task. And this is what Blackout was saying before he died in 1950, that this cycle is coming. It's going to come, and the cycle is going to change. And then 40 some years later, the story that we grew up with, hopefully it's still being told, you know, to the families there, and your stories are still told that have that meaning, that this cycle is coming to an end when she completes that. That's just one example.
Since these two questions were brought out, okay, And Bernice, he gave you a good understanding to them, okay? And this is what I'm going to share with everybody because it's very difficult for people to understand this. Let me tell you why. It'll get worser if you don't pick up your own language and follow that same independent path like our ancestors have done it. What little brother was talking about, these prophecies, okay, each one has a real significant meaning to it. This grandmother that is gathering the kindling and keeping this fire going and writing something over here in her animal hide, if that ever becomes successful and that grandma completes what's written on that hide, okay, and that dog's not there to dismember the fire, it's the end of the red nations, the red people. You see, those stories are interpreted different. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's not Bryce's fault. It's the people's fault because they're so badly assimilate with white and European thinking. White think, the assimilation, white supremacy, that dominant culture. Now, I'll mess the whole slate up, and then I'm going to give it back to the people. I want to hear Lanny. I want to hear Jenny. I want to hear Bill. See, when I talk with these three people, you all can talk in the white man's virtues of life. And this is not an attack on any of you. Richard Keith Iatt, this guy that's of AIM guy from down in St. Francis, okay? He does the same thing without a direction where positive, you know, learning and understandings come from. See, that's all they know. And then they giggle at the end of the shows. I call that punk to come back out on this show again. And now I'm done with him. So what I'm going to share with all of us tonight, and I'm going to, like I said, I want to hear from Lanny. I want to hear from Jenny, because Jenny likes to talk. Lanny likes to talk. And I also want to hear from our Strongheart brother, Bill, down in Oklahoma, to give you some real strong motivation of what he has done to change the system towards, you know, looking at Native rights, Native independence. So here's what I'm going to really do real quick. And this is how it is, the way it used to be. Mitaki epi le chala misunkala wogalaki. Na we chinchala le tokshaki le echa insha taku wopche tokata ki kahoye. Nupa kigle wo yukshaki hechins echin. Ho. Misunkala ian ha wa unspeke le wianki le ku. Ash. Wa blezi ke he suta oispesni. Ash nahachi. Taku lena wa blezi he aikwaki ki. Owa pi et hunta. Hetchens e wichinta laki le chin. Ho, hena okihi. Ash trokel. Trokatakia. Wa blezi. Wo yuksha. Waksape. Wo suta. Hena hetchens e wichoye nitrofiku. Hena hetchens e nunkte. Ash wane tuki, we choy chake kile hena ishia ek tuzam. Na we chokuze kile le chalakis e, hinap hekile, hena wakanki na wakanzag lena we chaka sote. Ho hena echa ishia wablezi ki he, ois bok de es ichunsin. Unzik takia ta komani, taku echanuk de unzik takia ilalab hunter, wo wakha, le walakok de trokata nunjipi. Ho yung kha hechus etaku iwong la kokire yetse tu le ampetu. Che echu ha tona hu khlechus e anagapta na kokile ableza po chante ogna toni oyate un kich khopi. Mila haska tkha wi choy ogna owa biki le wo yuk chakile ata wa khike he yusini api na heta ha yeski api. Toni hechus echu Ite o api ogna hechus e haki lena echa egna kap. Ho heta ha wane tu o snish inch o khate inch o maste ki hena echa le haki heta aku lena he uchok o khate na ha uchaki inch de ki he yanke. As hena hechus e wane tu ki na uchok chake ki le cha u ki hena wo yuk se na wo ablezi yu haksi. Mila haska echela kha wo khe kha wo choye. Daku hena ichonki, hena hechus onkiapsa, lila o techi ke mitaki. Ho heuncha, Let's Mishukalanaha. We are killing no key oil chalk yakina. Lakota we choy organat hokata ka ispe once in a hoetaha. Dona hook ishana haksi anagopta umpiki. Ishan wobble the killenet hakwe kakitka. Iglekab nahakah oliab oki. Let once yakina hetching on kia picte. Hoetaha. We choy chaki killena dona hook le. Dakulena on kit hofsniki, he wolak hote, it chetke oispam, na hetchins, a wankaki hunter, dakomeni lekak be yankte. Na etaha wakantaka kichimanetu, na uchimakakina, utopanahan, le shumpaho oateki, and we are kakina aikakaki. Ish and wasloiki lena nahanki, pokatake, ispeakte, no hetaha, zaniat pokatake, you shocky hetchins, ilalakte. Ho hetchins, eh? Interpreting in the English continent, I'm just going to leave it like that. I'll wait for, you know, at getting close to the end of the show as we do continuations on what's coming and how people are addressing issues. Because, Lanny, if you're on the radio show tonight, I want to hear from you too. And then we're going to go back to Jenny and then to Bill and then back to Bernice and Bryce. So go right ahead, Lanny.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
First of all, my name is Lanny LaFont. I'm here from Igbeaut, South Dakota. And my dad was Lanny Sr. LaFont, and he was the son of Archie Bluecoat. And he's descended from one of our Wichasha Itashas, and his name was Bluecoat, and he got that name from when he was fighting the cavalry down in Missouri. And when he came back to the Dakotas, he was wearing the soldier uniform. And he told the people that, you know, these people are coming. You know, these Europeans are coming. These soldiers are coming. This is the uniform they wear. So from that time, they called him Bluecoat, and he was one of the last shirt wearers for the Sanzark Itazopcho up there. He surrendered in 1868, but he was they were camped at the south side of the Little Bighorn the day of that that famous battle there. But anywho, that's my my great-great-grandfather, and I'll be taking the last name, the Horse with Horns, here in the process of changing that name, just because we have too many good, you know, Lakota names, strong names that we can't let go, you know, and we're going to, you know, assume, I guess, and be comfortable with European names, you know. And it's always hard for me to, you know, to go someplace and to hear these European names and you know, and we have people with good Lakota names that could be running these ceremonies, but you know, we got all these medicine men and these Sundance leaders with, you know, with the European names, and it just doesn't, to me, it's not, I don't like it, you know. So I'm changing that back, but I guess the real reason why I guess I was invited to talk here was the fact that you know, I'm a big critic of our tribal council here on Cheyenne River, but also you know, we have to look at how we got into these positions to begin with, these positions of poverty, And I hope everybody's got a little time here, because I'm going to explain a few things as to how I see it. So for us here, you know, we have this IRA government, Indian Reorganization Act, that was obviously thrust upon us, and we didn't like that, but we still have it. Now we're stuck in a quagmire with this government, which a government within a government, and this government this government system has flaws to it. And the flaws to it, like here in Cheyenne River, is the fact that this tribal government has taken control of the courts, of the law enforcement system. So there are no separation of powers. And basically what the tribe is wanting to enact and everything is that you cannot have the right to appeal. So they've been taking this upon themselves to start basically taking apart our Constitution to serve themselves. But when they hold ultimate power, then you cannot appeal. And when they control the Attorney General and they control the courts and this, that, and the other thing, and those people had better do their job, or they're going to get fired. You know what I'm saying? And people have, I guess, really value their jobs over their integrity of who they are as people. Now, the problem with this form of government that we have here, and what we have as far as where a poverty-stricken people. So this government experiment of the Indian reservation, I guess we can all say, is a complete failure. You know, from the education standpoint, you got to look at the education standpoint and how our children learn, and we have to see the complete project as natives before we can come back and start the task. But the way we're taught, they teach you without showing you the end result. So we struggle with that. But the education system that we have that's in place right now is a one-size-fits-all education system. You know, there's no Montessori. There's no Waldorf option for you to go and send your kid to that education because our brains don't work correctly. But the federal government wants to keep pushing this on us, and we as a people, we keep accepting it, but our kids aren't understanding it. And we're testing them at a rate, and we're building, and if they don't got it and they fail, we're already branding them that, hey, you're not a smart person. And that starts to wear on their psyche. And then a lot of us are in homes where there's a lot of poverty, there's a lot of domestic violence. But if you look at the whole system that's also keeping us down financially, our children see everything. They know they're living in a third world country. And you realize that when you leave the reservation. So right away, we're psychologically damaged. But we're also – that damage starts in utero, when the child is conceived, and the mother might be facing some domestic violence issues at home, and right away now the fetus that's in utero is having the stress hormones doubled up on the fetus. So this right here causes the nervous system to not operate correctly. And there's attention deficit syndrome and all of these things that come along with your wiring not being right, with the imbalance of your system being stressed. So that's not being addressed. And so what that leads to as we get older is alcoholism, drug abuse, diabetes, high blood pressure. All of these things are caused, from in your utero when the mother is facing, has a lot of stress on her. And we get that on the reservation almost 100% because our unemployment rate is 87%. And when you have an unemployment rate like that, you're never going to bounce back from that as a people. Now, there is a balance that we have to make here as people between, developing our land and who we are as a people. Because who we are as a people, what's going on right here with our cattlemen that are running feedlots, you know, for them, it's about the dollar. It's about the dollar. You know, we don't care about the Morrow River. We don't care that, you know, all of these cattle feces and urine and all this pollution is going into the river, and we don't care about commercial, you know, runoff from fertilizer running into the river, killing our fish. What it is, it's all about the dollar. But for us, for us, we know that that land is sacred. We know that that river is living. So for us, we as Lakotas, as natives, we can't do that. You know, we can't hurt Mother Earth for a buck. But the white men who come here, non-natives, whatever you want to call them, they come here. It's all about the buck. It's all about developing the land. But it's also in that we're also killing it. We're also taking away the beautiful parts of it. Like here in Cheyenne River, you know, we had a lot of cedar trees, right? And they cut all those cedar trees down to make fence posts. Well, nobody ever replaced those trees. Those trees are gone forever. And we had a lot of black oak, and they came in and cut those trees down and sent them back east, right? All for what? All for a dollar. No one ever replaced those trees. So in all of this, it might be like 15 years ago or so when, you know, the documentary come out about Monsanto, you know, and I came back here and I, you know, addressed the tribal council about the use of Monsanto products on our land, right? Because our groundwater, water is life. You know, we all understand that part. So all of that is leaking into our groundwater. Now, here it is, you know, fast forward present day, last year, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of this runoff is going into our stock dams, and our deer, you know, are being born, white-tailed deer are being born deformed. You know, they got blue tongue, they got all these things, because some of those components, those PPEs and all that stuff and PPTs, they don't break down. They're in the water forever, you know, and that is affecting the animals. Now, who's going to pay for that? You know, who's responsible for that? But we don't have anybody in tribal council tripping over themselves to find out where is this coming from and how are we going to stop it. There's no concern for that, right? And that's wrong. But people are afraid of conflict to do the right thing, you know, and that's why, you know, I'm proud to be a native, you know, because, a native, because he's always fighting for the right thing, you know, and it doesn't matter where it's at, if it's at DAPL or, you know, if it's in Canada, you know, I mean, you know, we're always going to fight for Mother Earth. Because we have that understanding, we know that the land, that we belong to this land, that it's part of us. And I had a dream when I was a young man, and I was sitting in a teepee, and wearing a white shirt with the pink tie, and I was talking to the people there. And I was talking to them about the importance of Mother Earth, you know, what it meant for us, that this was our life. And when I put my hand on the ground, my hand and fingers began to root into the ground like I was a part of it. And I took the water and I explained how water was life, how water is older than earth. Water has a memory. You know, water, they have water in heaven. And God gave us this water on this earth so we can live. And I took the water and I mixed it up on the ground and I wiped it on my shirt to show the people how important this was over my heart on this white shirt, that this is life. This is what it comes down to. Mother Earth. So, and I was probably maybe 18, 17, 19, around there when I had this dream. And I didn't understand it for a long time. I mean, you understand it, but you don't. And then as you grow older, you begin to understand what these things are all about. So with that dream and that understanding of knowing these things are sacred, knowing that our blood is the same salinity, the ocean, you know, how could we not be connected to this? And that's what it's all about, you know, this land where we come from, you know, that last name, the horse with the horn, right down here and on the trees where my family comes from. Justin Lawrence lives there now, and his ranch is there, but there's a creek that runs back up there. And when my uncle was a little boy, he would walk that creek, and a horse came to him, and it had one horn. And grandparents that he seen this horse with one horn, and they didn't believe him. But the next day he went back, and that horse with one horn came back, and he took care of that horse, you know. And so when my dad passed away in the ceremony, he was telling us, you know, telling me, he's like, look into the sky and you'll see the horses we ride. And so one time I was coming back from Pier, or Rapid City, I had to go get a new stove for my mom, and I didn't want it to blow out, so, because she would chew me out. So I strapped it down real tight, but the wind caught us, and, you know, I had to pull over and restrap it down. And I looked over, I turned around, and the thunders came like in a bowl shape, and they were dancing around. And I took a picture, and I have that picture, and it's a horse running with one horn. So I got that picture on my phone. So, but that just shows to go that these names are our medicine. You know, this land we live on, it's our medicine. That deer that we harvest, that's our medicine. You know, these berries that we consume, that's our medicine. But the cows that are running on the land are running over the berries, running through the choke cherry trees, running through the plum tree, right? We're losing our medicine to this cow, and this cow is an invasive species. It's not natural land here, but we bend over backwards to accommodate that cow. And this is Indian land. And the guys who are benefiting off of this land here are overwhelmingly white. 90% are benefiting off of Indian land. And Indians are, you know, we got one councilman here who made $1 million, and he's probably made $1 million last year and the year before off of running cows on Indian land. Well, he consolidated all of these range units, used his political clout to get that. Well, we got people sleeping in cars. You know what I'm saying? We got people sleeping in cars with kids. And this guy is bragging about making $1 million. So you have to ask yourself, how psychotic are these guys? That you know people are suffering. You know 50% of your kids go to sleep at night. What you're concerned about is that you made $1 million on cows. But at the same time, we're 87% unemployed. So you got yourself a tribal job, and you got yourself some land, and you got some money, and life is good for you. But they won't give the people their land. You know, they won't give the people their 80 acres that they're due according to the Constitution. Now, if I had 80 acres that I could use, you know, I could become fairly wealthy also. But they won't give us that land. They won't even go fight for the land that's supposed to be ours, because they're comfortable enough with who they are and what they have. They're making a pretty good life. Why mess it up? Why rock the boat when I'm well taken care of here? Because I've made these rules that favor me, and I own the court system, And I own the, you know, we had the Buffalo program here that Bryce could talk about this a little bit, but that went $33 million in the hole. You know what I'm saying? We lost 5,000 head of buffalo down to 200, right? So it's around maybe $30 million. Misappropriation, misspending, whatever you want to call it. About $30 to $33 million. And no one in this tribal council cares to address this issue. How did we lose 5,000 head of buffalo down to 200 heads? How did we acquire all this debt? And you guys don't even want to acknowledge that this happened.
Wow.
Right? So the Buffalo program was supposed to be a standalone entity. That's what they said. Oh, we're standalone. You know, you can't mess with us. We're standing alone. Well, when they couldn't borrow no more money, and they ran it into the ground, they said, okay, here you go, tribal council. Here you go, tribe. Here's the Buffalo program's debt. We're out. And that's what happened. So I went on. I found an attorney that was half crazy enough to go after these guys for that money. And I took this matter to tribal council, and I said, hey, man, I found an attorney that sued the old Buffalo board, and we could start getting our money back, right? I said, I just need a show of hands of how many of you guys are going to be with me on this so we can contact him and we can start getting the people's money back. Not one councilman raised their hand. So I have to ask him. I'm like, so let me get this straight. We lost 5,000 head of buffalo, right? They disappeared. Nobody knows where they went, apparently. And then we had all this millions of dollars gone, misappropriated. You had Roy Lemon, the head of the Buffalo program, flying down to Mexico on business. But at the point, you could not sell buffalo outside the continental United States. It's an amenable species, meaning it's a wild animal. And they said, well, they're practically pets. I said, it doesn't matter what they practically are. They're an amenable species, and it's against the law to send them outside the continental United States processed or unprocessed, right? So who is Roy Lemon going down and doing business with in Mexico if he can't ship the buffalo meat down there? And then he went to London, England with Zach Duchesneau, who's another one of the beneficiaries of all of this. He went to London, England with Zach Duchesneau, which just happened to be the most expensive country in the world to go on vacation. You know, I think it's like $11 for one beer there. But anyway, the point being, they went to London, England, and Roy was going along to drum up business. But Roy took the Buffalo program's credit card, essentially tribal funds, and he paid for that honeymoon, for everything. And then they sent the mail, the meat back, because they couldn't pay it to London, England. So
Lenny, let me jump in here real quick. Lenny, let me jump in here real quick.
All right.
Okay. All right. So right now, currently, what are you doing with your tribal council and Bryce to hold them accountable?
Well, you know, what I try to do and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to run for office, and I did. In the primary election, I came out number one by about 25, 30 votes, right? But also in the primary election, some voter fraud took place for in favor of one of my guys I was running against, one of the longtime councilmen, right? So they got caught signing Brenda Houston's name and voting for Ryman LeBeau. So I asked them. I asked the election board to look into this. And they said, well, it's a moot point because we threw that election out. I said, I was like, you understand that somebody had to orchestrate this. Somebody sat down and studied the election, people's names, who wouldn't vote. And then they had to sign their name and cast that vote for that person. Well, when Brenda came up, somebody already signed her name and voted for Ryman under the affidavit
list. Let me stop you right there real quick here.
Yeah.
I want that story to keep going on. Do you guys have a radio show on your reservation? Do you have a radio station?
We do.
Okay, have you brought this out to your people out there on the Cheyenne River?
Well, this just transpired. I was supposed to have 5 days to get this paperwork in, but I gave it to them. They were supposed to meet today and give me the documents that I was requesting, the signature sheet for the sign-in for the vote. They denied me today. They denied that I would get that paperwork. So, and they said, well, we can't do a recount. You know, we want to sit these councilmen with all of the other ones. So we vote to take no action on your letter. And they said the attorney general will look into the case. And that was it. So They're rushing this, and they're denying me my due process because now they're saying, well, you can't appeal to the court.
Right.
I'll go get on the radio to tell the story.
Let me get on this understanding, okay? Not to cut you off. I want to hear from Jenny, and I want to hear from Bill. We're coming down to that top of the half hour, of the hour and a half. So I want to get to these two understandings here real quick here of Bill and Jenny. So, Jenny, if you're on the air, go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Jenny. I wanted to ask Bryce a question when we're talking about this IRA stuff. How do we actually get rid of it? How do we get rid of the IRA? What's the process of it? Because whenever I try to explain it to some of the elderly women that I talk with and stuff, my family members, they don't understand it at all. And a lot of them are afraid if you get rid of it, that means that our tribe don't get no more funds. So I just want to ask Bryce, how do you get rid of it and what does happen if we do?
Well, you really don't have to get rid of it. You just, the BIA and the IRA are federal statutes that are to do away with you as a original person. If you see the 1877 Act, you have to get into the root of all of these things I mentioned about acts, statutes, Supreme Court, accords, people bulls, federal legislation. But 1877 and 1887, 1889 acts, those are all unilateral, illegal acts.
Mm.
And that was asked before because the 87 Act is an allotment. 89 Act, it took land from us. We went from the 104th parallel to the 103rd to the 102nd. The 1889 created six reservations. And our people were opposed to it totally. But in that period of 1889, there was Wounded Knee in 1890, and then Lakota language was being taught. So there's Bibles and there's books in Lakota. And in 1890, when President Harrison became president, he made it clear that the Amendment 12 of Article 12 never happened. You know, the three-fourths male consent, that's what saved us out of that. Supreme law of the land recognized by U.S. Constitution, Article 12.
Mm.
So when they illegally took the land in 89, you know, we've been under this unilateral taking all the way up till they made us citizens in 1824 or 1924. But there's acts before that, like 1913, the Federal Reserve Act, the 1917 War Powers Act, and then there's an emergency act that every president goes in and they sign this emergency act. That is to keep the U.S. citizen down, you know, under emergency conditions. And that, it's like the United States has a U.S., a second U.S. Constitution, a corporate charter that they created in 1925. So they made us into citizens after World War One, because there was coal tarkers there in World War One that helped save those battles too. And they said, well, you become citizens in 1924-25 Act, the U.S., United States corporate company became into existence. And then this was all geared by these bloodlines, these 1% bloodlines that have been working at this for centuries. And they completed it, and now the truth is out there now. So it's up to our families to decide, you know, and if they want to stick with the IRA government, whatever. But we have all the rights to be free and independent, and that's been proven by Chanupa and Russell Means and Phyllis Young and Gary Vallon. Now there's only two left of the four. So it's up to us to be free and independent. That's the way the Creator made us. So if we're not connected to the Creator, then we live in confusion. We'll let people dictate to us, which has been going on for too long. Not only us, but the U.S. citizens in the same boat. So Russell was right when he said, you U.S. citizens, welcome to the new reservation called the United States of America. You know, he's telling the truth, man. But yeah, he came up with a document on Republic of Lakota, which has a lot of legal background, and I hope you have a copy of that, because he gave me that in 2012 down at Fort Laramie. You know, that's the last time I seen him, man. I'm glad he gave me that document. But it's all a choice. That's why our families need to pull together, and we need to stand together. Like what Lanny said, know where you come from.
Yeah.
Know where you're going.
Bryce, do you feel when we're talking about our traditional, cultural, spiritual ways of life, type and what, do you feel what's going on today is due to the resources, the resource shortage of resources, or is it just, to me, I feel like it's kind of like, we know the greedy white man speeded up time on us. You know, that's why we're not prepared. We were not prepared for this, even though we had many of our old ones prophesy these first things foretold about these days. But I feel that if our people don't, that's what's going to happen. We're not supposed to let this happen. Mm-hmm. But also, we got to remember that we're learning something new every day from each other. And that's the only way
One thing is that right now the elders council here, Lakota Elder Council, four bands, they have two tasks. They call it commodity and realty. Now these IRA governments and these treaty councils have to understand what that means, realty and commodity. And the two tasks that the Elders Council are taking on is, one is 700,000 acres that belongs to us. And the other one is a gold investment and two trust funds. So unless you understand that, then that's the only way we'll get out of what Lanny is saying is we'll get out of poverty. And that's what I've been working on, how to address poverty. And we're there now, so it's up to our elders to. And they're in consensus. Now we got to get the young strong hearts, young men and women to get behind us. And then, you know, then the real government will work under our real creator.
Yeah, but anyhow, I was trying to finish, like the grandmothers that speak up this way, they all talked about the food source. Eventually we'll come down to the food source, and that's what they see what's going on today, besides the government experiments and whatever else they try to do. So that's the main thing I feel today is the food source.
Jenny, let me jump in here real quick here. Bill, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Bill from Oklahoma.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We need to know what you can throw in on the independent structure of what you heard from Bryce, Bernice, Lanny, and Jenny. We got 15 minutes left before we shut down as the time draw near to 6:30. If you can, kind of throw something in there on what you figure that would help understand my people's philosophy, because the thought is there, but then for me, and this is only for me because I'm opinionated, when we get caught up into the European thinking of the status quo, that's what affects my people's thinking ability to continue to stand on the topics of freedom from the Tatanka Oyate, the Wabali Oyate, Echako Oyate, and the Sinte Sapala Oyate, and the Lakota itself. So getting away from the white man's concept, this is why the tribal governments, the BIA, the police department, the court systems never work, even the urban housing. See, and my topic is always going to be very simple, but I want you to throw in where you can throw a monkey wrench in there to break the cycle of understanding in of what you know and what you succeeded with.
Okay, well, one, we're not a beaten people. We never were, as far as the Europeans, I don't know. But one thing what we need to understand is that there's a dual government. There's the corporation government, and then there's the original jurisdiction government. There's also two constitutions written. One was the 1779 constitution, and then the 1787 constitution, which they're ignoring. And all the rights that we have, those rights were given by Wakan Tanka, not by men. Men didn't give us our rights. Our rights come from above. We need to stake ourselves to Mother Earth, to Turtle Island. That's what this is. This is not America. As far as anyone who wants to call it America, that's just wrong. As far as the fight that I've been doing here in Oklahoma, this has been a hellhole since I came here. It's been one fight after another. It's constantly with the white government trying to force their ways down my throat, and I won't accept it. When I came here, I purchased a piece of land, which was under patent number 703, and I brought that patent back up to date, and then I put a lien against the land so they could never steal it again. I'm been in a constant fight with the local utility company that they came across the property. They just trespassed. They didn't ask for any permission. They just started setting their poles, which I threatened to blow up or cut down or whatever.
Right on.
Then I have railroads. The Union Pacific Railroad runs on the west side of the property, but actually I own to the center of the line. They keep claiming that it's their right of way, and I keep claiming that this is Cherokee Nation Reservation. And it is. It's, according to the new Supreme Court ruling on McGirt versus Oklahoma, who said that our land is sovereign. So it's our land everywhere is sovereign. It doesn't matter whether it's the Lakota or the Cheyenne River the Cherokees and the Choctaws. All these reservations, what they thought they did with a stroke of the pen in 1907 when they came out with statehood was that they disavowed all the reservations, but they didn't. They have to go to Congress in order to do that, and they never went to Congress. They just decided that they would usurp their power and take the reservation away. Period. And it would take all the allotments away. This particular allotment here was originally 47 acres. And they had sent Mr. Epperson a tax bill. And, of course, he read only Cherokee. He didn't read English. So 7 years later, they took the land and threw him off of it. Fortunately, he had a neighbor that was able to save about 17 acres of it and gave him back a place to live. So... And then when I purchased the property and I went down to file the original patent, They said, well, you have to pay tax. I'm American Indian. I don't pay tax. It says it right in the Constitution. And then the lady said, well, you have to prove you're Indian. I said, yeah, when you prove you're white, I'll prove I'm Indian. You know, so I'm not going to prove I'm Indian. And that's the most racist thing I've ever heard anyone say. She said, well, what else could I be? Well, you know, in school you teach that you come from monkeys, so maybe you're a chimpanzee or something, but I don't know what you are. I know what I am. I'm Lakota, period. You know, so it's been a constant fight here, but I've staked myself to Mother Earth along with my brothers in Santa Kinza, and I continue to fight the red fight. You know, we're not going to be conquered.
I appreciate that. Bill, I don't mean to cut you short, but don't know who knows the one or another. You heard from Bill, we heard from Jenny, we heard from Bryce, we heard from Lana, and then we also heard from Bernice. Now, as time gets nearer, we got like 10 minutes left, so I want to throw this at all of us, okay, that are here tonight. When you have the originality of who you are that is connected to Earth, you're the people, okay? And hear me on that. When you have the original connection to the earth, you are the people. And number one, what comes with that is language. Then the customary practices that are built with it as that people from the animals and the great mystery and Mother Earth itself. But because today's way of even this English language, I hate using it. But that's how these European immigrants use this as a root to enslave us. So we're good in talking English, but when it comes to our traditional customs and practices and our values of our long language, we can't do it. So here's what I'm saying. When the oppressor performs his unauthorized, you know, counterfeit duties through his prayer circles, his services through the Catholic cathedrals, the Pentecostal Baptists, Episcopalian, all of these fake, you know, illustrations of faith, it creates one thing. It's a constant abuse of oneself facing the reality that he or she already has. And that's our problem. It's all of our fault that are all talking here tonight. Okay? Because we talk, we think just like the white man, but we don't know how to think like who we are as that blood that was given to us from Mother Earth, the four-legged, the great mystery, and everything connected to it that is the value of life. And I'm saying that because we got another show to do tomorrow, and I want everybody to come back on because this is a brilliant night. It's a brilliant night. I'm very happy with it because the spiritual things that we are connected to viewed themselves. I found a red-tailed hawk feather on the road, and I prayed to a bald eagle to talk and strengthen this radio show tonight because we would have more important people involved. Thank you, Lanny, for coming on, Bernice, Laline, Bill, Jenny, and Bryce, all of you coming on. Tomorrow we'll do it again. Now, in closing, I wanted to say this part too, because this is where we have to own up to it, folks. We have to. And if you all get offended, so be it. Just because it looks like a Lakota and sounds like a Lakota doesn't mean it's a Lakota. Just because it looks Blackfeet, sounds Blackfeet, doesn't mean it's the Blackfeet. Just because it looks Arapaho, sounds Arapaho, doesn't mean it's Arapaho. And these are the natures of what I'm saying to help us understand one thing. If Mother Earth didn't allow us to live here in harmony in that good love of that life she gave us, the great mystery would never bless us for that. And we're not connected to that anymore. We talk a good game. You all know that. It's not your fault. It's the fault not putting what's in front of us, the four-legged wing creatures and all these things are happening, because the spiritual awakening has returned in 2013. And it's going to leave in the next 6 years if we don't get back into it. The invading practices that's happening right now are the minerals of the oil, the gas, and all these other natural substances that they keep extracting from the earth. So with all of this that's connected tonight, my brothers and sisters, for all that participated. Remember, nature is what America can't see as, and I'm only going to use this as a description, nature is your law. And when you have that purpose to engage in it, everything becomes one. Because the animals are the only ones still representing freedom and independence. And by God, I say, by God, I'm using white man terms. By God, we can't even connect to them. We connect to paper. That's the hard part. So that purpose of encouraging it all from the original bodies of our turtle island, which is our natural home, we have to nullify ourselves to hold that white man accountable for all this racial bigotry of destruction, rape, murder, etc., that adds on, that eliminates us from connecting to who we are. And we are all part of that damn problem, because right now, as this COVID-19 transpires its own precedence of its own authority, God damn it, we're all putting a mask on because we're afraid of something that we didn't create. And they did it. And so with that,
right.
I advise all of you to come back tomorrow, 5 o'clock, same time, okay? Because we got 5 minutes left, and I'm going to close it with this real Lakota song. Bryce, Wopila Tonka, little brother, for coming on. Lanny, Laleen, brother Bill, you two sisters, Jenny, Bernice. This is an awesome show that
Thank
you guys
you.
Produced. We all put this flavor in it together because all of this body that was on the show tonight. And Sister Leona, thank you for another great day of holding us tonight. And so here's our song in closing. Here's our song in closing. And we look forward to all of you tomorrow night, same time, Mountain Time, 5 o'clock. So come on board, and here's our closing song. Tonka shilaya ya hamo ye ki ye lo hai ye ye hai. Tonka shilaya ho ye maya ki ye lo hai ye ho. Wama khaska ki le ye he ya wo ki ye hi na papilo hai ye ho. Tonka shilaya wa kame ki ye lo hai ye. Tonka shilaya wa kame ki ye lo hai ye. Wama kashka hina papi heya wachi elo hey hey hey. Mishna la leta tu yunya piki toka ta kya oya te zaniya uti telo hey hey. Let you say to ha waka me chino cho heya waki pushi elo hey hey. Toka sinaya waka me chi elo hey hey. Tonka shilaya wa kame si elo hey hey. Le an petu ki le dona ho he wo shi he na we shok u elo hey hey. Tonka shilaya hey ya mo ki elo hey hey. Tonka shilaya hey ya mo ki elo hey hey. Uto pa wa ki ne chono hey ya mo shi elo hey hey hoy. I thank all of you for coming on tonight's show. It's been a brilliant one. And give yourselves a good pat on your shoulders and your back for a job well done. Bryce, Lanny, Bill, Laleen, Bernice, Jenny, I look forward to seeing you guys and hearing from you tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, same time, Mountain Time. Leona, thank you. Sister.
All right.
Thank you for the pictures you sent. We love you from the Native
we
people
you.
In
we
South Dakota.
You.
Aho.
Love
Aho.
All of you.
Can I?
Thank you. Tomorrow
Thank
night.
You for the invitation.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Oh,
how. Yelamia.